Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can place things into your hands. And Father, we ask that you will give us everything that we need, everything that we require to be able to do your work. Father, we stand on your promises, on the promises that we were given through Jesus, that you will give us what we need and what we require. Amen. Different people have different ideas. You'd be very surprised to hear. And over the last few weeks, it's been really interesting, I think, to listen to other people's different ideas about Esau. And I know we're not talking about Esau tonight, but that's who I want to start with. And how some people think that he was an introvert. Others think that he was boring. Some think that he was rather selfish. That he liked his tummy, don't we all? And others that he gave things away too lightly. Well, what about Jacob? Jacob, the younger son, he was a deceiver, a liar, a cheat, listened to his mother too much, and didn't seem to care. Whatever did God see in him to choose him and to choose that family to be the bedrock of the Israelite nation? I don't know. How do you think Jacob would have felt as he fled, because he did have to flee, from Esau, who wanted to kill him, as we heard last week? And he fled so that he wouldn't be killed. He listened to his mum again and to his dad, and off he went to safety. Now, just before he fled, as we heard last week, he had deceived his father yet again and had received the blessing from Isaac. And Esau was really, really bitter about that, as I can understand. But how do you think Jacob felt? Do you think he felt guilty? Do you think he felt deceitful? Do you think that he felt that he had done as his parents had asked him, because his mother has told him to do that? Do you think he felt any sorrow? Or do you think he felt self-righteous? However he felt, he was now on a journey of exile, until he comes to this place when the sun is setting. And as he gets there, he hasn't got a sleeping bag, he hasn't got a tent, all he's got is a rock. Now, I know most of you at some point will have gone camping, and a rock is not the most comfortable thing to put your head on. But that's what Jacob decided to do. Maybe it was a penance. But he put a rock underneath his head and went to sleep. And as he slept, he had a dream. When I was little, we used to sing the song, "I'm Climbing Jacob's Ladder." You all remember that. I was going to make you sing it, but then I changed my mind because I thought you might not admit to knowing it. But "I'm Climbing Jacob's Ladder." And he saw angels ascending and descending from heaven to earth and vice versa. And one of my questions when I was little, and it's still a bit of a question now, is how did he know that it was an angel? Because they didn't have art in those days. They hadn't got these marvellous pictures in cathedrals and things. How did he know that it was that they were angels? However he knew that it was something absolutely special. He knew that it was something that had never happened, certainly to him, and not in his knowledge to anybody that he knew of. And then he saw the Lord. Now, God up until fairly recently had been talking, still talking, to the people. He'd spoken to Noah, if you remember. He told Noah what he wanted him to do. He'd spoken to Abraham. And so people still knew how to listen to God. They still understood what God was saying to them. But Jacob instantly recognized this being, person, at the top of the ladder and knew that it was the Lord. And he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." Jacob so far had never, as far as we know, made any kind of commitment to God, to the one God that Abraham and Isaac followed. But "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac." And then there comes a really special promise. "I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." Now don't forget, he'd already received the blessing from Isaac that gave him everything really. He'd already received the birthright. He'd already received the blessing. And now the Lord is giving him another blessing. He's giving him another promise. "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." And then a really special promise, I think, to Jacob. "I am with you and watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land." Do you know, we've all been in places like Jacob. We've all been in places where we think that we are totally alone. We have got nothing to lay our head on. We feel totally and utterly desolate. We feel wrapped with guilt, deceit, sorrow, self-righteousness. And yet God is with us. And he doesn't leave us. And he will bring us back to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. Jacob awoke. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I dream really weird dreams. It must be the cheese. But I dream really, really weird dreams. And sometimes they're gone as soon as I wake up. And I just catch a glimpse, and it's the smallest glimpse, of what I've dreamed about. The girl I work with has wonderful dreams. She loves explaining them to me. "What does that mean, Kathy?" "I have no idea. What were you doing yesterday? What was on your mind?" Do you think the Lord was on Jacob's mind as he lay down to sleep? Do you think the Lord was on Jacob's mind as he woke up? Do you think he could actually remember the dream? Well, he obviously could because it's written down. He obviously remembered the dream, and it obviously meant something really, really special to him. A dream, this kind of dream from God, is a gift. Why is it a gift? What is a gift? A gift is a promise of something to come. It comes all wrapped up. Sometimes it's sparkly paper, sometimes it's rather dull paper. If it's me wrapping it, it's probably still got the price on, it's just in a bag. If it's somebody really special wrapping it, like the sister-in-law, it's got bows and dingly bits, and can't wait to get inside to see what's there. A dream comes all wrapped up in the things that we think about, the things that we have been doing during the day. And it's only as it's unpacked, and certainly as this dream was unpacked, that Jacob began to realise what it meant and how it could be applied to his life. Jacob had no idea when he chose a rock to go to sleep on how his life would be changed because of one dream. Many years ago, I was at school. That's how long ago it was. And I was being terribly, terribly bullied. And I didn't tell anybody, as you don't when you're being really bullied. And I used to go home, my sister had just joined the school. She was obviously younger than me, and she spilt a bit of yoghurt on the major bully's coat. And so the bully, who was in my year, decided that she would get me and threaten me with something dreadful happened to my sister. And as all good sisters do, I protected my little sister. But the fear and the anxiety of every day going to school and knowing that I would be picked on was really horrendous. At one point, she came into the gym and she went to hit me, and I ducked, and she hit a hand on a post and very sadly broke a knuckle. And then all her friends started to pick on me because I'd moved. I hadn't stayed still for her to do what she wanted to do. And I remember eventually telling my mum about it, and she was furious, obviously. But her advice was, let's pray about it. Oh, come on, Mum, I'm being bullied. She's going to kill me, and you just want me to pray about it. Anyway, we did. Also contacted the school. But that night, as I went to sleep, I dreamt that I was in a really, really deep, dark pit. And it was really, really muddy and really slimy and the most horrible place that I could think of at that time. And I remember vividly calling out to God and saying, I can't get out of this. I can't do anything on my own. I'm frightened of going to school. I'm frightened of talking to people. And I can't carry on like this. And at the top of this pit, there was a hand. And it reached down to me. And it was a light hand. And it reached down to me. And it said, step into my hands, and I will never let you go. I will never let you go. And it was my response that was being waited for. And I had to either decide to stay where I was, in this deep dark pit with slimy, smeary sides that I couldn't get out of, or I had to trust God, because that's who it was, and get there into the safety of his hand. And then he covered me and he lifted me up and out of the deep dark pit. As I went to school, I was rejoicing because I knew that nothing could actually happen to me because I had committed the situation to God. And as I went to school, I met her on the bus, and she was still as horrible as ever. But nothing happened. And the terror was removed. Many years later, after she'd been expelled, actually, for bullying. Many years later, I was a nurse, and I'd qualified, and I'd come back to Macclesfield. And a young woman was admitted with quite severe injuries from a car accident. And when I had to go down and give her her morphine injection, I drew back the curtains, and there was the bully, who I hadn't seen for years. She went, oh, hello, what are you going to do to me now? I said, I've come to pray with you. A dream, which is God-given, is a special, special gift. We don't all have dreams that are God-given, specifically to get us through things. There are many Bible stories of dreams and their importance if we think of Joseph and Daniel later on in the Bible. How do we interpret the dreams that we are given? Do we ask for dreams? Do we ask for guidance through dreams? Jacob didn't. Jacob had no idea. And the blessing that followed his dream was immense. The Holy Spirit has given us gifts. Through the prayer time, we're going to examine the gifts and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for each other and for the gifts of the Spirit. Trinity Week, Trinity Sunday, celebrating Pentecost. These are all days and all things that are important to us in the church and as a church family. It's not just something that we come to church and say, wave a flag and say, whoopee, it's Pentecost. God gave us his Holy Spirit. It's something that we can do something about. We can ask for his help. We can ask for the gifts of the Spirit. We can ask for his leading and his guidance. I'm going to leave it there. And just for a minute, I want us to think about the gifts of the Spirit. And I want us to think how we use them. What do we do with them? Do they lie dormant? If Jacob had done nothing at all about his dream, would God still have blessed him? I'm sure he would. But Jacob said, "You are my Lord. You are now my God." We have a choice to make. Do we want to step into the hand that's going to guide us and protect us and give us the power of the Holy Spirit? Or do we just want to be as we are and carry on? Many of us know the guiding power of Jesus, of Christ. And many of us, all of us, have felt that at some point his leading. I just want us to think about those times. Think about how you would have felt if you were Jacob and you went to sleep and saw the angels ascending and descending. How you would feel when the Lord said to you, "I am with you. I will be with you. I am your God." And I just want us to think of our response to that.